First reading is from 1 Peter, starting from verse 1, and this can be found on page 1016 of the Church Bibles. So 1 Peter, chapter 5, starting from verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd arrives, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Revelation chapter 12. That's page 1034 in the Church Bibles. So that's Revelation chapter 12 and beginning at verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the 2 wings of the great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness, to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea.
Well, thank you for reading, Daisy. Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you. Please keep that passage open, and you might find it helpful to have a copy of the handout, which is on the inside of the notice sheet. I wonder how you understand the times in which we live, how you describe our lived experience here on Earth. Take COVID out and think about it. What would you say defines the times we're living in as Christians here on Earth? Perhaps you'd say it's progress. Views on ethics or in science, we're progressive, certainly. We're very progressive as a world. Perhaps you'd go for secular. We're broadly irreligious. There is dwindling Christian influence in the world. Perhaps you'd go for liberal or individual freedom, therapeutic. That's what best sums up our world. Perhaps you'd go for boring or mundane, just kind of tedious. There is nothing really to say about our world. Well, I doubt you'd say, verse 17, that we are in a war zone, that we're under siege, we're fighting here on Earth. I doubt you'd say we're battling a seven-headed dragon, that we're at war with the ruler of the Earth. As Mikey said, we're spending a month here in Revelation. Revelation draws back the curtain on the earth. It gives us, if you like, a fresh perspective on the world that we are living in. It gives us a spiritual perspective of what's going on earth. The author's name, chapter 1, verse 1, is John. And God has given him a vision of the things, he says, that are to soon take place. He's given him a vision of what elsewhere in the Bible is called the last days of the times we currently find ourselves in on earth. And chapters 12 to 15 are the heart of this great vision. They are right at the heart of Jesus' message for the church. These chapters are going to be our focus for today and the next three Sundays. Our question: how would you describe what is going on earth? Well, chapter 12, verse 17, John says, there is a war on. There is a fierce battle raging on the earth. Verse 17, have a look down. Then the dragon, and we'll come back to him in a moment, then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. If we are Christian people, then John says we're in a battle with the ruler of the kingdom of the earth, with the devil and his forces, with this terrifying dragon, one who prowls, 1 Peter 5, across the earth. Our lives, they look so normal, so mundane, inconsequential, but there is a war that is raging on the earth. And if we're not to be devoured by Satan and his forces, well, then we need to learn this lesson as a church. The big points on the handout: we are at war with the devil. That is the spiritual truth that lies behind everything that is going on earth. Three headings for the story, as we see in just a moment, that we're under siege as Christians, as the church. But before we launch into those headings, just let me say a couple of things on genre, the genre of the book of Revelation. The first is, what John sees is not a video. What John sees is not a video. chapter 1, verse 1, God's given him a vision. What John sees is first and foremost symbolic. I think we see that actually even here within our passage. So verse 1, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Verse 3, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. A sign, of course, appointed to a serious reality, a spiritual reality in this case. John does not anticipate that any of his readers are ever going to meet a dragon in this way. God has given him a vision. This is Jesus' revelation. It is a vision, not a video of a future day. Second, we'll say more on this, I think, in next week's sermon, but John is writing to the first century church. Revelation is like any other book in the Bible in that it has original readers. So he writes to seven churches. He is writing in the first century. He is writing to seven real first century Turkish churches. And that means, of course, that what he says must first have made sense to them. It must have made sense to the Christians of his day. I'm going to put it out there. Donald Trump cannot be found within the book of Revelation, nor can Brexit, nor can COVID, or the News of the World, or whatever Sunday newspaper that you read. First of all, John is writing to a group of seven churches. He is explaining their experience of the world. More on that next week, but let's dive in now to our passage, and we're on to the first heading on the handout. Let me read again from verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and in the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth. The devil means the slanderer, the one opposed to God, the one who set against God's people and God's kingdom. We learn, verse 9, this dragon is the serpent, is the devil. He's been present since the day God made the earth. He's scary. In verse 3, I mean, just look at that description. 7 heads, 10 horns, his scales are flaming red. His tail can bring destruction, bring cosmic disintegration. Just one swing of it can bring the stars from heaven to earth. And what is more, he's set against the Lord and his anointed. That is the gruesome, graphic picture we get in verse 5, isn't it? Verse 5, and the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. The child, of course, is Jesus. He's God's son. He's the Messiah. He shall rule, Psalm 2, the nations of the earth. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. The devil hates King Jesus, and he crouches to devour him, to consume him, before he can be enthroned. I mean, it's vile. Don't you think? Verse 4, this is a gruesome monster. It's like nothing else you could ever see on earth. He's scary and he's sinister. This baby eating monster. And he's a monster with his eyes on Jesus' throne. I think that's how we understand the verse 3, seven diadem. Satan longs to sit on Jesus' throne. A diadem, a headband of a king, a royal ruler. He has power. He has might. He has, if you like, a rival throne. And he is now our enemy. This seven-headed monster, this great dragon, he has designs on Jesus' throne. He is our opponent, and let's be clear, he's scary, he is monstrous, this ruler of the earth. In the preface to his famous book, addressed to J.R. Tolkien, C.S. Lewis notes two follies that he sees around him in the world. The preface to the Screwtape Letters, available on the bookstall. Let me find the quote and tell you what he says. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devil. One is to disbelieve in his existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive or unhealthy interest in him. He himself is equally pleased by both errors. Two errors then. And I think he's right, denial or obsession. Denial, probably our default in the West. But the Bible is clear, the devil is real. He is, verse 9, the ancient serpent. He was there back in the garden. He's not gone away. He is a fearsome monster who is prowling on the earth. He's the power who's responsible for evil. He's set against King Jesus and he hates his powerful world. He is active. He is freakish, our opponent. And yet preoccupation with the devil and his forces would perhaps obscure what's going on earth. You know, too great a trepidation at his power, of his impact, could at worst really distract us as a church. And we're on now to the second heading down there on the handout. See the background here to what's going on earth. Verse 5. The woman gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Verse 7, now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. As Jesus is caught up to God, the devil stands defeated. As Jesus is enthroned, this pretender is cast out. Michael and his angels are protectors of the faithful. They are minions of the risen Son of Man. And as this child ascends, as he receives from God dominion, wins a kingdom that will never be destroyed, the dragon is, verse 9, thrown down. He's banished out of heaven. He's defeated. And he is soon to be destroyed. Now, I would like to say, I think this is a massive deal for all people, both in heaven and on earth. In heaven first, I mean, check out verse 10. Here is the heavenly chorus. Here is what John hears them singing in heaven from his place on earth. Verse 10, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. The death and resurrection of the spotless Lamb, King Jesus, has redeemed a vast new people for their God. He has paid for sin, forgiven them. He has secured salvation for all people who will truly worship God. Oh, the devil loves deceit, verse 9. Verse 10, he's the accuser. Satan loves to bring our sin out before God. I think that is verse 10. He's the accuser, our opponent. Satan prosecutes God's people before God. But in his blood, Christ paid for sin. He won for us salvation. The devil's words now have no sting. He has been cast out of heaven. If you're a barrister, he's been disbarred from God's heavenly courtroom. The thing about the devil is he is a busted flush. He is a loser, a no-hoper. He's a failure. He may be proud and powerful. He may be strong and scary, but he has, verse 8, already been defeated. And it is just worth being clear on this. If you are pessimistic, if, like me, you sometimes worry about the church. I'm reflecting on these verses as I've been doing in my quiet times this week. You know, it's very easy to think that evil's never ending. Again, we will return to this across the next few sermons, but Satan really does win some victories on earth. He conquers people. I have personally been absolutely appalled over the last few months at some of the sheer wickedness and evil that has surfaced in the church. Again, we're not going to go into details now, and I use the term church there very broadly. I'm not talking about anything that has happened at St. Nick's, but I cannot believe some of the plain wickedness that has surfaced within the church. Naked personal ambition, vicious lies, malicious slander, talk that has been deliberately destructive for the church. It all has Satan's fingerprints very clearly on it. Social media, maybe the death knell of the church. But Revelation 12, evil has now been defeated. Satan's thrown out of heaven. The Lord Jesus is enthroned. The day is coming soon when he will face eternal torment. He will be destroyed. King Jesus sits enthroned. And it is precisely because of that, because he's been defeated, that Satan is now lashing out on earth. It's because he knows he's lost. It's because he knows his days are numbered that he's come down in such anger to the earth. Third heading on the handout, and the consequence, his fury. Let me read again. From Revelation 12, verse 12. Therefore, says this heavenly assembly, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time times and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth to sweep the woman away with the flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from its mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. We skipped over earlier the image of this woman. She is probably an image of true Israel, those faithful men of old who were awaiting the Messiah, men and women just like Simeon in Luke's gospel. But as John looks, verse 14, she has two wings like an eagle. She is fleeing from the dragon and his wrath. It's a terrifying vision of a monstrous harassment of the devil come down to earth brimming with wrath. The Lord protects his people like an eagle. In the desert, the earth swallows up the river by its mouth. But verse 17, he went to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who hold to the testimony of Jesus and keep to the commandments of God. The age in which we live, as we await the new creation, is an age in which the devil's filled with wrath. He may have been defeated, may have been humiliated, but verse 12, he has come down to earth in wrath. He's angry, and he's gunning for quite normal Christian people. He has come down to the earth in great wrath. And John would say, I think, as we begin to draw conclusions, that we need to know that he is after us. For one reason or another, I've been doing quite a bit of work recently on the situation of the first century church. So the letters to the churches, Revelation 2 and 3, that as Mikey has said, we're going to be looking at in our summer small groups. And the parallels, to be honest, are eerie with our present situation. You could chase them up, those seven famous letters to the church. So there's insidious false teaching, immorality, and slander. There's defaming of great Christian saints. There is, in some of the church, quite alarming immorality. They feel weak. They think that suffering's on the way. And if you are like me, you'll think those things are pretty normal. They describe the church in almost any age. And if you are like me, you'll think those things, well, they are horrible, but they're not dangerous. We'll just try and keep out of the way. But John says that behind them stands the devil and his forces, one who's lashing out in very many ways. He is powerful and popular, a monstrous opponent, and he's leaving much destruction in his wake. Verse 9, he's the deceiver of the whole world. Unless we are prepared to fight a long and grueling battle, unless you and I are clear on what we face, it's possible we might become some casualties of battle. We might compromise, turn from God, not have what it takes. As Christians, we are people who are at war with the devil. That's the mark, the defining mark of this present age. He's prowling. He is growling like a seven-headed dragon. He is furious, incensed in this present age. Next week, we'll see the tactics of this terrifying dragon. But for now, as we close, I'm going to pray. And there are some questions on the handout that might be useful to think through with your neighbour a bit later. But as I say, as we close, I'm going to pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the book of Revelation and for drawing back for us the curtain on this earth. We want to thank you so much, Father, that Satan has been conclusively defeated, that Jesus is on the throne and he reigns. And one day Satan is going to be wiped off the face of this earth. But in the meantime, Father, we ask, please, that you would help us not to be naive. Help us to reckon with the anger, the real anger of a real Satan prowling on the earth. Help us, please, to cling to truth, to hate his lies, and to conquer him. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.